Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks a lot for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Michael, the intern, also here on this Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Here are some highlights there from Mizzou's win last night over Tennessee and comments from Konzo Martin as he was interviewed last night after the game. Mizzou wins 59-55 over Tennessee in what I think was a really, really big win for Mizzou after they have come so close to a couple of nice wins in the conference season so far, losing one possession, final possession games to Florida in Columbia and then at Arkansas over the weekend. They do have a nice win at South Carolina, and they beat Georgia. But you feel like they could very easily be 3-1. I mean, 4-0, I think that's, you know, you're not going to win every close game. There's going to be games that come down to the wire that you don't win. But they've had a couple of opportunities going back to the West Virginia game when they were up double digits, and they let that slip away. They didn't perform well in the Illinois game. And so you were looking for a statement from Mizzou, a nice resume builder. Tennessee came in as the 21st ranked team in the nation. Their losses were to Villanova, a close game to North Carolina. I think they had big leads in almost every game that they've lost. They lost, they had a huge lead at Arkansas and lost by two there. And then they lost to Auburn, who until last night was the only undefeated team in the SEC. And so they don't have any bad losses. And they just won three in a row, including an 11-point victory over Kentucky. And so it was certainly a big opportunity for Mizzou. And they had not won a game against a ranked opponent. Does anyone remember when it was? It was a significant day for Mizzou sports. And it was a day where I don't think anyone, or not very many people, watched the game that Mizzou won against a ranked team in basketball.
Were they playing in the SEC championship
game? They were playing in the SEC championship game. And I remember walking outside the Georgia Dome with, oh boy, quite a group. It was me, Steve St. John Sr., my two boys, Richie and Phil, a gentleman by the name of Sammy known around here as Sammy, and our friend Tony Temple, as we were walking around looking to meet a friend of mine, Mark, who had two tickets that we were getting from him, and there were a bunch of people kind of getting ready to get in line to go in the Georgia Dome, and everyone's looking at their phone, you know. Hey, they beat UCLA. I'm like, oh, yeah? Wow.
Can I guess the date?
No. Okay. Moving on. No, go ahead. What was the date?
December 7th, 2013.
Yeah, because you were playing soccer.
Sporting was winning MLS Cup that day.
That's right. That was a big day.
Kansas beat Colorado on a last-second shot that day. Missouri beat UCLA, and then the SEC championship game. And I saw all those things like at halftime. I remember going into the members club, that the bar at Sporting Park at halftime, and seeing all that stuff happening.
I did not see anything that day because I was at the game, and where was I going to see it at? I was walking around. We were having fun.
They didn't have it on the TVs in the Georgia Dome?
No. not a lot of people down at the Georgia Dome were focused in on Kansas basketball or soccer.
Or MLS Cup.
Nope.
That was a heck of a day, looking back on it, huh?
Sure it was. Absolutely. And little did we know it would take a few years for Mizzou to get another victory over a ranked team. But again, Konzo Martin doing all this, I mean, quickly. All these firsts, erasing all these bad stretches, all these bad memories. I gotta take a step back because this, I mean, you guys know how much I've enjoyed talking to Konzo Martin the couple of times he's come in here and sat down with us, and what I think of this team and the way they play and the toughness he's already instilled into this basketball team and the way they've played under his watch and how he's handled everything. And you talk about having a team that you think is going to be built around Michael Porter Jr. and then having to change on the fly, and then all of a sudden you lose a point guard that was part of the package to Mizzou that didn't mesh well with Konzo Martin because Konzo really didn't recruit him. And there are players that are not going to like the way Konzo Martin coaches and how difficult he can be to play for, how hard he is on his players, how demanding he is of his players. And there was an article, I know, Nate, you said you were beginning to watch it or beginning to read it.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated.
Right, but your attention, because it was a long one, did you allow yourself to read the whole thing?
I made it about two-thirds of the way through.
That's right. When I was reading, I said, there's no way he finished this. And you read part of it. You got the idea of it, at least, yeah. And I would encourage people. I retweeted it the other day, and I'll retweet it again. I would encourage people to sit down and read it, especially if you're a Mizzou fan or if you're just a college basketball fan, or if you'd like more details about who Konzo Martin is, some unbelievable details about his brother and how Konzo Martin was getting bullied in school by a school janitor. And so then his brother then beat the living, you know what, out of said janitor. That's just part of this, you know, it's a little part of the story. How his brother ended up in prison. How Konzo, his knees were so bad that he really, people didn't think after his freshman year at Purdue that he was really even going to be able to play and be an impact player. Really, it's a terrific read, but the part where, you know, he finds out what he went through and how he found out that he had cancer and how the odds were against him to beat that. I mean, all these different things and how, like, his sister wasn't sure that she wanted him to come back to Mizzou because of everything that had gone on campus. It's just what he thinks his responsibility is, not only as a basketball coach, but a mentor and someone that can lead both the basketball program but help lead the university and be one of the faces of the university. It's a fabulous read. And I just retweeted it from Sports Illustrated. So you read that. And then if you watch him last night, and I'll refer back, and look, I'm not interested in I know a lot of Missouri fans want to continue to take shots at Kim Anderson, and I get it. That was just a horrible stretch of basketball. But Kim Anderson did not want that to be a horrible stretch of basketball. He didn't start his tenure at Mizzou thinking, hey, the school that I loved, that I played for, then coached for, I want to run this program into the ground. Let's see how fast I can do it. That's what happened. He didn't want that to happen. And at some point, hopefully, he'll come back to Missouri and he'll get a warm welcome. I don't know when that's going to happen. And he was coach, I don't know who he's going to play, if he was in the Columbia area or might have been Jeff City, but anyway, he had taken recently Pitt State, who he coaches now, and they were asking him about different things, and he said, yeah, I like this a lot better. I get to spend more time with my players, not as much, you know, pressure. He said, and there's no Tiger board, you know. And so he still is we'll take shots here and there and talk about it. There's some hard feelings there, but hopefully that'll be smoothed over as we move on, because Mizzou's in a really good place right now with basketball, with a really good coach. That I think, more importantly, Mike DeCourcy always talks about fit. I think Konzo Martin and Missouri, it's a tremendous fit. He's the right man for this job at the right time, and that's what they desperately needed, because it was going to take more than just a good basketball coach to try to turn this thing around. And so far, he's been more than a good basketball coach for a number of reasons. And again, I invite you to read that article I just retweeted at SSJWHB. But you guys remember, over the last couple of years, sometimes when Missouri would play, the rare times they'd have a featured game on SEC Network or a game, a few times, all right, tonight we've got Kim Anderson mic'd up. And I would just say, nope, no. This is not going to be good for anyone. There's some coaches, hey, we want this guy mic'd up, and he will fire up the fans. You listen to how he coaches. This is good. That's good TV, right? Some coaches you don't want mic'd up. Number one, no one really sounds good when you're losing. Nothing sounds good there. Nothing's right. Just like every press conference usually sounds bad after a loss. But just that's not. Some coaches, you think, man, you know, let's mic them up and we get some kids to play for him. You'll hear how excited he is and energetic. That did not work out that way whenever they would mic up Kim Anderson. And I would say, look, I don't know who it is, whether it's the SID or someone. Someone needs to step in and say, you know what, just decline that opportunity next time.
Respectfully decline.
Yeah, just say, you know what, I'm good. Let me focus on coaching. I mean, and that's just fact. You guys would hear it. You know, we played it a couple of times. Like, wow, don't do that anymore. Last night, Konzo Martin was mic'd up. And good God, it's just, I mean, that's why you do that for coaches like Konzo Martin. To hear him coaching defense and to hear him imploring his team to do what they're supposed to. I mean, just coaching, you know, emotion, anger. Excitement, like, oh yeah, hey, all right, you know, just get you fired up. That's what it's for. That's why they do mic'd up, and just little things like that. Like, that's my coach right there. And then I don't know if you guys realize this, but a lot of the teams that I follow, that I root for, have over the years have had a difficult time dealing with end-of-half and end-of-game situations in all the sports that I follow, really. I can offer the Chiefs, perhaps, as a example. Mm-hmm. I always feel like at the end of a game or the end of a half that they've maximized the opportunity to succeed, right? That's a...
Yeah. Yep.
That leaves a lot to be desired, you know? Konzo Martin, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys experience this all the time when, you know, watching Bill Self, he does the right thing, he pushes the right button, and you take that for granted, and it feels good. Whereas whenever you have a basketball team or a football team or whatever, and the coach just bungles the final drive or the last possession, they're like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And it makes it so hard. And so we're like, why? Why are you doing this? What's going on here? What are you doing? Even though they won the game, I remember Barry Odom at the end of the Mizzou-Arkansas game where he could have taken the clock all the way down and kicked the field goal and walked off the field, but inexplicably left a few seconds for, you know, a miracle, which happens in football. And even say, hey, I screwed that up. But I'm watching like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And then last night, first, Konzo, when they're up 3 and Tennessee is going to get the ball, he decides to go to some full court pressure so they can't just, you know, let the ball dribble and not take any time and freely get the ball across half court, force them to kind of change the play that they called on the fly, caught Rick Barnes off guard, made them take some more time, and and they didn't look prepared for that. I'm like, yeah. And then you're watching, the clock's ticking down, Mizzou's up three, and I'm watching the game with Phil. I go, I think they should foul under five. They shouldn't have, just make sure he's not shooting. You know, I'm panicking and everything else. And Phil's like, shut up, the game's on. And then the clock goes under 5 seconds, and they fouled and put Tennessee on the free throw line like I've always wanted them to. And that's just one of those things when you watch it, like, you know, some coaches will do it and other coaches inexplicably won't. And I'm just of the belief that's what I want to do. I see three-pointers beat Mizzou, or I've seen enough of that, right? So he puts Tennessee on the line with 4.4 seconds, down three. Kid misses the first one, and then it just kind of spirals from there, and Mizzou ends up getting the win. And it was the right decision. Could something goofy happen and it not work out? Sure. But that, for me, that's what I want my coach to do. And it was just so refreshing and fun watching that play. Like, hey, he did the right thing. Oh, right. I mean, like, in that situation, I don't know. I can't speak.
Yeah,
was that what you want your coach?
Yeah,
is that
for sure.
That's what, I know, yeah. That gets debated. Like, I don't, you know. And there was.
Who was doing the color last night?
That's a great question that I honestly, I don't want answered.
Well, I didn't go look it up.
He had a lot of personality.
I was watching last night, and he did not like it. And I said, well.
Right.
Well,
there was also
not very bright.
That color commentator also did not like the score because he kept saying it wrong. Like, it's a little thing, but he kept saying,
yeah.
Mizzou's got a 5-point lead. I'm like, they have a 6-point lead. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, Mizzou holding on to the 5-point lead, and it's a 6-point lead. That's a small thing. You're a play-by-play guy. I feel like that's, you know, if you keep saying the Sporting KC up 2-0 and it's 3-0, like, maybe that's a little.
That's a pretty important
part. You want that,
right?
Yeah. You want that right.
Yeah, well, especially in basketball where you got two-pointers and three-pointers.
You want that right.
Yeah.
You know, and then he just kept.
Some would say it's the most important stat.
Jonte Porter with a big three. That's not Jonte. That's not Jonte Porter at all. That's Cassius Roberts. That's a guard.
Or
something.
Really even,
whatever it was, he thought it was. And he kept saying it, and he kept saying it, and he kept saying it. And then he goes, break. Well, that's not Jonte Porter. And then, I don't know. Right, that's exactly right. And I was not, I didn't know who they were. And Jake, I like to keep it that way, to be honest with you.
Okay, well,
but you know what?
Whoever
I mean?
He was, right. He did
sounds
not
like
the,
exactly.
He did
and,
not
yeah,
like the decision
good.
By Konzo Martin.
There you go.
So
and there was,
I was like, well, if he's disagreeing, then he must
right.
have been doing the right thing.
And I'm not gonna. There was at least one guy that covers the team that tweeted out, he wasn't even shooting. Why are they doing that? Why is he fouling? And I'm like, you don't. Why would you wait till he's shooting to foul them? Because then there could be a 4-point play. That's when you foul them under five when they're not shooting.
And
that's,
look, it's what a lot of
not, I mean, yeah, that's one thing that a lot of coaches are afraid of.
Right.
Is if you do foul, you could, you know, the guy could get into the act of shooting right when you're trying
right.
to foul him, and then you all of a sudden put him at the line to shoot for three free throws. You don't want to. Do
but
that.
It was executed perfectly.
Yeah. No,
but,
they did. But, I mean, it was like 4.6 seconds. I think, you know.
But the argument is not, he wasn't even shooting. Why'd you foul him? No, no,
no. That's why you fouled him.
Because he wasn't shooting under five.
Yeah.
Put him at the line 4.4. I'm good with it. And it worked out. It worked out.
Yep.
Now, could something if goofy happen and they make the first free throw and get the offensive rebound and kick? A lot of different things happen. And it's happened before. Mm-hmm. But philosophically, that's what I wanted Mizzou to do. And they did it. And more importantly, they executed it perfectly. And they hit free throws, and they won the game. It sounds like I'm just giving credit to a coach and players for doing what they're supposed to do. But this is after several years of Mizzou basketball, it's a new thing for me that I'm wrapping my arms around, and I was so thrilled. And it was a big game, and the first time they beat a ranked team in over 4 years. So yes. Very good. And they slipped ahead of Tennessee in the standings. And with Auburn losing, the first place team in the league has one loss, and Missouri only has two losses. Two last second losses. And so I feel real good about where Mizzou is right now, the way they played the first couple of weeks in the SEC after last night's victory over number 21 ranked Tennessee. Look at Jake's face. Jake even called me afterwards to congratulate me. Oh, good game. Good game.
You know what I didn't tell you? You're talking about quick changes and turnarounds that Konza Martin's made.
Quick changes, the halftime show that where they change on that building cycle.
That atmosphere in that building couldn't be more different.
Were you there?
No, but you can tell on TV.
Were you down there?
I moonlight as Truman the Tiger.
I wasn't going to suggest that, but
you're a lover of sports.
I am.
Drive down I-70. Nope. I'm not going to.
Too cold for that.
No.
Did he really call you and congratulate you on that win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants me to be happy. He's got to deal with me the next day. He doesn't want me to be mad. You want me to be mad?
Not usually. No. Sometimes I do, though. Sometimes it's entertainment.
Haven't we had enough of that?
No, the last 2 weeks, I don't want you mad.
Can I
right
be
now.
Happy?
No.
He called me about something else, but he also threw in a good win.
Right.
I was still a little shaky because he called me. He goes, hey, I need to talk to you about something.
I'm trying to watch
I'm watching the Konza Martin post-game interview.
You'll hear it tomorrow.
It's one thing if you call someone like in the final minute. I'm trying to watch him do this interview on SEC Network. What?
And then, with 4.4 seconds with guys going line.
Right.
Hey, I need to talk to you real quick about
that phone
something.
Would have been fired across the basement. And so, yes.
Jake never calls me when Kansas gets a big win.
Because he doesn't want you to be happy.
And it happens
we know
every
that
week.
If you have an edge to you, then the show can be better. We need you on that edge. We need you.
So he could have called me and then about Rick Barnes' comment about Alan Fieldhouse then, get me on my edge.
What are you talking about? What did he say?
Ask Norm.
Ask Norm. Every coach wants you to ask other people about Kansas. Bruce Weber wanted you to ask Fran.
Yep.
And now Rick Barnes. For some reason, wants people to ask Norm.
Yeah.
Norm's like, what? What do you say? I don't know.
Just ask everybody.
That's right. We'll play that for you.
Yeah.
Not that I told Jake to find that before the show, but Jake, find that now. That Nate has brought it up.
Yeah. Get me on my edge. You guys want me on my edge? You know.
Right. We'll take a break. Mizzou beats Tennessee. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mizzou beats number 21, Tennessee, last night, 59-55. Next up, they play at Texas A&M, 3 o'clock on Saturday. In other games last night.
Oh, boy.
Other games last night. The rest of the SEC, Auburn, number 17 in the land, and until last night, undefeated in the SEC, they lost at Alabama. As Jake says, go Alabama. And so Auburn loses their lead, and that's the final SEC team to be undefeated in the conference. They are now 4-1. And Arkansas had some trouble on the road. At Florida, 88-73. Florida's, by the way, after having some struggles. I don't know why I'm talking like that about Florida. By the way, after having some struggles in the non-con, Florida looking good. Florida looking good, which is even more frustrating that Missouri lost that game at the end.
You said a sentence we don't hear very often since Mike Anderson's been the head coach at Arkansas.
What?
Arkansas struggles on the road.
Well, I don't know.
Can happen to anybody, I suppose.
Man, they're 2-4 even after that win against Mizzou. They need to put some wins together.
I think throughout my career, I always did appreciate and I patronize all the people there in Columbia.
You know what, though? I'm going to say this. People think we play this because I don't like... I actually like Mike Anderson a lot. And he was one of my... He was one of my favorite coaches to cover, and I always enjoyed speaking with him. And I was sad when he went, and perhaps a little hurt.
Well, you know what? That's normal. I mean, if you
not really.
You like somebody and they leave you to be
something.
Hurt, to be angry.
Nothing I do involving sports is normal. I'm really not sure that's the word I'd used to describe me in any regard.
Mike Anderson, very good coach.
Typical.
He had a lot of success at Missouri. Class act.
Right. But I can't root for him to succeed because
of course
he comes
not.
From Arkansas. That's
of course not.
That's a different thing.
That's not your job. You're loyal to your school.
What is my job, by the way?
To entertain us.
Huh. Last night in the Big 12, here's a shocker. Texas Tech lost at Texas after I told you that Texas Tech would lose at Texas.
Because Texas!
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Texas!
Are you still looking at this as just this unbelievable uphill climb for Kansas to somehow win the conference?
Texas Tech!
All these teams really seizing the opportunity.
Oklahoma!
Didn't take long, did it?
Just let me know when you can buzz in and say that you feel silly now for even doubting it.
I said that. I admitted that that's why I didn't say it out loud.
Well, just one more time.
Week.
Just one more.
You just want me to keep
it's
admitting
ridiculous,
how silly
right?
I am.
It's ridiculous.
One more time.
It's not over. It's only a one-game lead for
it's
the Jayhawks.
Over. It's over.
It's only a one-game lead.
Night.
Over.
Can't take anything for granted in this league.
You can absolutely take it for granted.
For 14 straight years.
Dude, I'll be so fired up if Kansas wins it. 14 in a row. Record.
You could absolutely
put it down in permanent marker.
Who looks like they're interested in challenging Kansas right now?
Well, nobody right now.
Well, Texas Tech.
K-State, Texas Tech both go on the road in back-to-back days and lose. West Virginia loses
K-State
to Kansas.
K-State didn't lose on the road.
I'm sorry, Oklahoma.
Well,
Oklahoma.
You
got to K-State.
Well,
K-State
Oklahoma.
Yeah, K-State went on the road and lost to Kansas.
Well.
But I meant Oklahoma at K-State.
TCU beat Iowa State 96-73.
Weird. So. Usually Iowa State plays great defense. I'm surprised that they gave up 96.
Boy, taking shots at everyone.
Of course, you can't expect Texas Tech to go to Austin and win a game because we know that they get all the calls in Austin. You know, Longhorns shooting 6 more free throws and getting called for 7 less fouls than Texas Tech.
Sarcasm.
You know, they get all the whistles at the Irwin Center.
Nate Salty.
Yeah. Let's bring it.
I mean, this is the most predictable. I mean,
it's almost comical, really. The way it just all came like in 1 week. Still a long way to go, though.
Not really. It's not that long.
12 games left in the schedule, right?
Right. Time to extend the lead to like, you know, 3 or 4 games, right?
Only a third of the way through the schedule.
Yeah. Okay, a third of the way. So at this rate, they'll win it by 3. Yeah.
It's possible.
You know what? Sounds right.
It's possible.
Sounds like a plan.
By the way, just like the way teams have gone into league play, like you mentioned Arkansas. Remember when Arizona State, were they number one at one point?
I think they got up to, I think, 2 or 3, but I don't think they were ever at number one.
I think when they went to Kansas, they were number one for everybody.
They got into the top 5. I know
that. Yeah, oh yeah.
They're 2-4 in the Pac-12. They lost at Stanford last night. Remember Stanford, like Kansas beat Stanford, and you're like, well, that Stanford team's not any good.
It's a big rivalry, though.
Stanford's 5-1 in the Pac-12.
Is it really? I mean,
no.
No.
Everybody talks about the Arizona State-Stanford
rivalry.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big
party
one.
School against the nerd school.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Trees against the devils.
Yeah. Desert versus the forest. Nerds against the, you know, partiers. I don't know. But Arizona State's 2-4, and Stanford's 5-1 in the Pac-12. It's weird, like, seeing some of these. Because you didn't think, like, when Kansas beat Stanford in Sacramento, you're like, well, that's not that big of a win because they stink. And when you lost Arizona, you're like, well, they're not that bad because Arizona State looks amazing. I don't know how you make sense of all of it.
I don't.
It's all crazy, isn't it?
They make sense of it in March.
And how about Wichita State losing at home to Tim Jankovic and the SMU Mustangs? That horse in Philadelphia was happy about that.
That's a big win for SMU.
I like Coach Jank a lot.
You like Coach Marshall a lot? Do you like Coach Marshall a lot?
I don't know him as well as Coach Jank.
Right.
So I can't say that I...
If you had a list of your 10 favorite college basketball coaches, where would Greg Marshall be on that list?
I don't think he'd be on that list. That's an exclusive list.
How far would we have to extend that list out before he'd make it?
I don't know.
Would he be in a field of 64?
Doubtful.
Right. Boy, that's pretty deep right there. Let's think about that. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game. I was kidding with the official because he knows I've coached a bunch of games. I said, I don't know if I've ever coached against a team that only had 2 fouls in the first half. And he said, well, you ever coach a game where a team had won? I said, I don't think so. That's my point is I don't think our team has ever been in a 1-1. And then I thought for a minute, every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened a lot. Thank you, guys.
That was Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes, of course, former Texas head coach Rick Barnes, as he ended his post-game press conference at Mizzou Arena last night. He also said, ask Norm about that off camera as he walked out the door. So Rick Barnes was feeling it. Now, you did not like Bruce, well, maybe you did like Bruce Weber's Ask Fran, and you declare that, you call that whining, right? A lot of people did, right?
Yeah.
So your response to Rick Barnes, and he was not asked anything about Kansas. That was totally on him. He was, you know, talking about the officiating.
Ask Fran Fischello about it.
And he was clearly playing to the crowd, and then, you know, the Ask Norm. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's a smart guy.
Norm's like,
he knows
hey,
his surroundings.
Norm's like, don't bring me into this. I didn't say nothing.
Actually, Norm's like, Norm bring me on.
Right. Yep, totally right.
So you
screw you every time.
Rick Barnes said, ask Norm. So I did. hey, Norm.
Let me tell you something else about Kansas.
Why, you son of a bitch.
In Norm head, Rick Barnes is back. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Well,
I think it's Rick Barnes knowing his audience a little bit better than Bruce Weber knew his audience, probably. I mean, you know, he knows he's going to get a heck of a chuckle out of the crowd in Columbia, Missouri, yeah, if he you know, takes a shot at Kansas.
Lady, you listen to the studio audience from, they liked it. They got, you know.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, I pipe some in, but I'll leave the natural in.
And then he kind of walks off, and hey, everybody, all right then.
But there still is a good.
Be sure to tip your waitresses. No, there's a. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game. I was kidding with the official because he knows I've coached a bunch of games. I said, I don't know if I've ever coached against a team that only had two fouls in the first half. And he said, well, you ever coached a game where a team had one? I said, I don't think so. That's my point is I don't think our team has ever been in a 1-1. And then I thought for a minute, every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened a lot. Thank you, guys.
And that was a mic drop.
That's a good,
I'm out.
You're one. It's like Ed McMahon came back to life and was sitting right there. Ha, 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 yes. You are correct, sir.
Yes.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he did. Like, it was like open mic night or whatever. That was his walk. He had that one ready,
right.
You know? That was his final joke of the night. Thank you. You've been great.
That's right. Order the veal. See you next time.
Tip your waitress.
Thank you, guys.
My name's Rick Barnes. Right. Thank y'all for coming.
And it was all. And it was,
yes.
And it was off camera walking. I asked Norm about that, but I'm bumped.
Rick Barnes has now left the building.
Every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
What about your response, Jake?
Oh, I'm having too much fun playing radio over here.
Right.
It's smart move by him. You know, the rivalry's there.
And he was not happy with the officiating.
But, I mean, that's a good way to... He was turning a complaint. I mean, he was complaining.
But let me tell you this, people.
I don't know if I've ever been in a situation like this. You know, he was complaining, and then he, you know, curbed it by making a little joke.
He handled it.
Yeah.
He, you know... I'm not going to blame you if you did. You probably did. Did any of either one of you guys watch the first half of that game?
No.
Let me tell you about a glorious stretch. There was like, I don't know how much it was in real time, but it might have been like 6 or 7 minutes of game time.
Yeah.
Where no whistles. No stoppages of play. It went from the under 8 timeout to the under 4 timeout and then down to like 2 minutes left. And they just, and like, there's like 8 players sitting in front of the scorer's table ready to check in, just waiting and waiting. And just no, and Barnes like, I'm not calling a timeout. And Kyle's like, I'm not calling a timeout. and just go and go, and it was glorious. As many whistles and reviews as we're forced to sit through, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is fantastic. It's just going. Look, they're not stopping them. They're letting them play.
Yeah, I saw our buddy Brian McGannon tweet about that. He said almost 10 minutes without a whistle.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? There were a couple plays that they could have called a foul. They could have blown the whistle, and other refs would have. And they just, you know what they did?
Let them play.
They let them play. I'm like, yeah. Yep.
I don't think, I could be wrong about the context of that. I don't think that Rick Barnes was even really complaining. I think he was saying it was just remarkable that there weren't very many foul calls in the first half.
Yeah, whatever he did, you know what, it made people laugh.
Well, it was. I guess maybe it was that, so there were 6 fouls against Tennessee in the first half and just 2 against Missouri.
So
I guess maybe he was complaining, yes. Just 2 fouls against Missouri in the first half.
And I can tell you this, they got to halftime and, like, I think Jontay Porter and Tillman had combined for 1 foul, which is like, ooh, give me this crew every game. But then in the second half, they decided, okay, Jeremiah Tillman, if you breathe, it's foul. Don't breathe. Don't breathe. Foul. So they tried to play catch up on that one. And then they reviewed a play that in no way did it need to be reviewed. So it was almost like, you know what, we haven't been on TV enough. Let's get back at it.
Ref show.
Right. But it was for just that window, it was glorious.
Well, especially I think the way that, you know, Konzo Martin wants to play. He wants to play physical defense, and it's good for him if they're not calling as many fouls.
How much do you think that I love listening to Konzo say, I told him it was gonna be a street fight? And that's the way I want it. That's the way I like it. Like, that's my coach. That's my coach.
Well, the one thing we said to our guys, it'll be a street fight.
That's right. This show's going to be a street fight. Tim Grinhardt's coming up pretty soon. And that's the way I like it. I want the show to be a street fight, guys. All right? Look at Jake. Jake, you just want the show to be over. You're not concerned about, you know. what did Timmy say?
He said, why is he saying that about you? Why is he saying that?
About you?
Yeah.
Because every day you say true. You can't wait until it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely right. Fact. I get nervous with all these TVs, cameras, and microphones everywhere. Just get me to 10 o'clock. I'm so nervous.
You know what? We've just taken another step towards 10 o'clock. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan now joined by Tim Grinhard in studio. Timmy was scheduled to be on the show tomorrow, but he was so excited about Mizzou's win over Tennessee that he wanted to come in and share the moment and share the excitement with me, and I'm sure glad that he did.
Very excited.
Big win last night, Timmy.
Huge win. Watch the game. Huge win.
Did you really? No, you didn't.
Yeah, the parts
of it. No, you didn't. I'm not going to accept that.
Parts of it. I did watch parts of it on the SEC channel. Hey, I am going to give you guys a big report. The NFL and the NFL Trust has put together a program that sends, well, you have to sign up and all that, but it sends the players down to, well, there's like 4 or 5 different spots. I'm going down to University of Tulane in New Orleans. Starting tomorrow, and it's all through the weekend and all the way in the middle of next week. It's some massive, unbelievable testing from the NFL. Everything from MRIs of your brain to orthopedic stuff to cardiac, all that kind of stuff. So I'll give you guys a report on it. It's a brand new program. They pay for everything. So and I'm not sure why they're doing it. I think they're trying to get a baseline to see if you could sue him or not. It really comes down to whether, does this guy really have some issues or not? But I'm taking advantage of that. So a little nervous, but it's going to be it goes through all kinds of psychological testing to ear, nose, and throat to you name it. It's coming up. So a little apprehensive.
You going tomorrow?
I leave tomorrow. I'm going to go see Kaylee. Kaylee will be swimming in Tallahassee, so I'm going to go watch her Friday and Saturday, and the testing starts on Sunday.
I'm spending the night in the hospital this weekend, too.
Are you really? Just me and you together, buddy.
Right. We'll text each other.
Let's text each other.
Notes. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
We've got Tim Grunhard in studio. We've got Nate Bucati here, just taking shots at everybody. Doesn't matter. You right?
Who am I taking shots at today?
Earlier, who did he go after? Jake, you're the one that brought it up.
I pointed out you can't expect Texas Tech to go into the Irwin Center and win.
You went after Iowa State a little bit defensively.
He definitely went after Iowa State.
That's right.
Iowa State.
I mean, he's fine. You
guys are in the show. I'm listening to the show, and I know what you guys are saying.
I'm not really
you
in
the show.
You
think I'm paying attention to this thing?
Nah, not really.
Is it 10 yet?
Are you ready to pay attention? We got some football to talk about.
Okay, now I will. I'm in.
Right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.